So this will wrap up the Tetrahymena two-parter. In this part, we are concerned with transport of particles into the cell. But just more generally speaking, when it comes to transport processes that can move things either into or out of a cell, what are those three major categories of transport processes? Osmosis is a special case of one of the categories. Passive transport, active transport, and vesicular transport. Good. Now, active and passive are different from each other, obviously. They're all different, but active and passive are distinguished on the basis of the need for additional energy, right? That's how they're different, but they have in common the fact that in either one of those, active or passive, the particle being transported actually crosses a membrane, right? Either into or out of the cell. And that's different from vesicular transport. Vesicular transport is named, of course, for the fact that it involves a vesicle. But the way it works is that the particle being vesicularly transported actually never ends up going through any membrane, right? It enters a cell or exits a cell in kind of a cheating way as far as crossing the membrane is concerned. And so the that major category, vesicular transport, can then be subdivided into what two major subcategories? Exocytosis and endocytosis, which are distinguished only on the basis of the direction of the transport of the particle, right? Endocytosis, bringing it into the cell. Exocytosis, putting it out of the cell. We care about endocytosis today, inward vesicular movement or vesicular transport. And you can actually subcategorize that. What are the two major kinds of endocytosis? Phagocytosis and pinocytosis, literally cell eating and cell drinking respectively. And the distinction there is based on the nature of the thing being transported, right? If a cell uses endocytosis to bring in a large solid chunk, then that's phagocytosis. Pinocytosis, on the other hand, is using a vesicle to basically take a sip of the environment, mostly water, and then whatever is dissolved in that water. And that is actually what tetrahymena do. Pinocytosis, more or less continuously. Even though, after that vesicle is formed by pinocytosis, we call that vesicle a phagosome, which is kind of oxymoronic, but that's the way things are. So it's the phagosomes that you will count today. Those will be your data. All right? I mentioned last time that tetrahymena are good cells to work with because they're largish for cells, which means easy to spot. That was true last week. It'll still be true this week, even though these are different species, and they are a little bit smaller, so they'll look a little different, but they still are pretty large cells. You won't miss them. I mentioned that we're going to count the phagosomes, which would normally be invisible, just like the organelles within the tetrahymena are invisible under ordinary light microscopy. We're going to force them to become visible by putting something in the environment that they will take up by pinocytosis. What is that stuff? India ink, right. Which is not actually ink, even though, despite the name.
Is it from India?
Well, it probably was originally. I don't know, though. India ink is really just a suspension of graphite, pure carbon, which in graphite form is nice and black. And so this just blocks the light. And therefore, if a phagosome contains graphite, you'll see that phagosome nicely as a circular black silhouette against the bright field background. That will allow you to do the counting. Well, speaking of witches, When you see a tetrahymena that does not have any graphite-containing phagosomes in it, in other words, what you would count as zero, you'll see little black specks or actually you'll see what look like little black specks. They're not really there. It's just the way the light is played as it goes through the organism. So it's just an artifact. It's not real. Anyway, you're not counting those tiny black specks. When you see a phagosome, it will be obvious. It'll be much bigger and black and round. But when you do your count, before you do your counts, you should come up here, once I get it prepared, and see a good example of what phagosomes look like, so you know the difference between a zero and some positive number of phagosomes. All right, don't forget to do that. Before I let you loose, I want to talk about a couple things that could be potentially confusing or have changed. One confusing thing is that in the write-up, in the protocol, there are a couple pages devoted to statistics. The t-test is introduced and the formula is given and explains how to use it, which is fine. You're going to be doing that, actually, as part of the datum sheet. But as an alternative, it mentions the standard error for the difference between means and explains how to use that. And that information is also correct. The confusing thing is that you don't end up using that. And in the datum sheet, a standard error is called for, but it's not that standard error. There are different kinds of standard error statistically. The standard error for the difference between means obviously requires two means to compute, right? You have to have two sets of data, each with its own mean, so that you can compare those means with that standard error for the difference between means. On the other hand, there's something that's called the standard error of the mean, which you can compute for just one mean. And that's the one that you actually end up needing to use in the datum sheet. In the datum sheet, there will be a column that's marked as SE for standard error. It really should be SEM for standard error of the mean. So don't use the standard error for the difference between means. It's meaningless. You can't compute it when you only have one mean to work with. Instead, use the SEM. And the formula for that, in case you don't already know, is pretty simple. Standard error of the mean is just the standard deviation, and you already know how to compute that, divided by the square root of the sample size. In other words, divided by the square root of n, whatever n is. All right? So use that instead. One thing that's changed in your protocol is that I don't want you to use any cover slips on your slides. That'll give you much better results. In fact, I think we've taken this cover slips away from you just so that you have to obey me on that. But don't look for them. Don't use them. Just use a droplet on the slide and put it right under the scope. And when you use the scopes, you should be using, well, obviously you use the scanning lens to focus it, but only go up one magnification. Go up to the 20x, and that's what you should be using to do your counts. That's plenty. One other thing is that Brenda, because people are confused by this protocol for some reason, probably because of the way it's written, I guess. Brenda, though, has nicely written on pieces of blue tape exactly how many of each material you need for each experiment. Don't skip the step of reading the tape and then come and ask me how many of these things do we need. All right? If you still don't understand how you're supposed to set the experiment up, of course, ask me, but read the blue tape. Another thing is that the protocol, I don't think mentioned it last week because we all missed it, but you were supposed to have saved your extract dilutions that you made. It's fine that you didn't because we have some for you today. But whatever compound you use, cinnamon or whatever, come up and get four of that same stuff you used last week. But just make sure on the side of the tubes that the four tubes are the different dilutions. You should have a full strength, a 1/10, a 1/100, and a 1/1000. Just take those back with you. You'll only need a little bit of them. When you're done, bring them back. Do not throw these away. Don't rinse these out. Just bring them back. Feels like there's something else I wanted to tell you, but that might be it. So go ahead. Oh, yeah, there is one thing. Just a quick hint for people who don't know this. Your tube holder has two sides, small holes, big holes. Okay, now you can start.